This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are, right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
5-0, Nate Taylor here with us on Fesco and Dusty. First off, happy Thanksgiving Eve, and then happy Thanksgiving to all of you and your family, Mr. Taylor.
Yes, thank you, Dusty. Happy Thanksgiving to you and Bob and your family, and obviously Nathan behind the board. It's a lovely day before a holiday.
Yeah, it really is. It's a beautiful day. We got football on Friday. It doesn't affect Thanksgiving tomorrow, which is great. You know, we get the Chiefs, though, afterwards against the Raiders. I don't know, bro. Like, I'm just feeling it this week. I'm feeling 55-7, right? Like, I feel like based on, like, Mahomes not being happy, hearing from some folks that, like, it felt like a loss in that locker room on Sunday. Like, I don't know. You tell me. You're around them more than I am. So are you feeling it or not?
It'll definitely be interesting if they actually are able to do that on Friday. I still have some doubts because I know just how the team has operated this year. Look, I mean, at some point they got to win a game that's not like in the last minute, the last second. So do it sooner rather than later. I heard you earlier, Bob. I think if you were to get up 10-0 on the Raiders, the question then becomes, do the Raiders give in? Do they have any fight back in them? I know Aiden O'Connell's like not the best quarterback, so you know the game script needs to allow him to get into a rhythm versus like, hey, you're going to pass the ball 40 times today because we're down double digits. But I think that's what the Chiefs should try to do. Like, jump on the Raiders early in the first quarter. Don't make this anywhere near as entertaining as like most of the country probably wants the game to be.
Right.
And you know, if you beat this, and I said this last week too, and I just, it was sort of perplexing that they could not accomplish it, right? I think the offense was very workmanlike against the Panthers. It's the defense that didn't hold up the end of the bargain where I thought, man, Chris Jones, Trent McDuffie, Nick Bolton, obviously Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, like all these guys need rest at some point. So can we take a fourth quarter off at least? You know, and that was my concern, knowing that this was going to be on Friday in a short week. So, yes, you would love for them to blow somebody out. I know I was in the press room when Patrick said, yes, I would love to not win the game on the last play. But I think everybody, I think every Chiefs fan agrees with him. But at some point, you actually got to do it. I want to remind everybody, the Raiders literally have nothing to play for after Friday. Friday is their Super Bowl. They are obviously the dwellers in the division. They are not going to the playoffs. Their quarterback situation is abysmal. So if the Raiders are ever going to get up for a game, unfortunately, it is going to be Friday. So why don't you put your foot on their neck in the first quarter and see how much they're willing to kind of claw back into the game.
No doubt about it. We asked Mitch Holthus this question because I saw it on Twitter go pretty crazy. But if Kelce catches a touchdown, he passes Tony G all time for the Chiefs. If Mahomes throws a touchdown pass, he passes Lynn Dawson all time for the Chiefs. What happens if that's the first touchdown of the game? Who gets the ball?
Script it up, guys. I don't care who it is, Matt Nagy, you know, Andrew Reid. Somebody script this thing. I think knowing Patrick, the ball will go to Travis. You know, if you've watched closely, now that he is a full-on seasoned veteran, still in the prime of his career, of course, I think Patrick understands, hey, that's your first touchdown. I got to go run for that ball. Like, I'm not even celebrating with you, right? If you spike it, if you hand it to the referee, if you throw it in, you know, God knows whatever direction, like, he's running it down. He did it earlier this year for Xavier Worthy. He's done it in the past for other guys. So I think given the significance of the record, even though he will be a part of history himself, I think Patrick is a selfless enough and understands the gravity of such an accomplishment for Travis that he will give the ball to Travis.
Okay, yeah, I think they're going to cut it in half. I think they got a hacksaw on the sidelines. They're going to slice that thing up, and each of you get a half of the football, right?
What happens? You do need air, so I don't know how that's necessarily going to work. But one of the things that I know the team does is that, like, hey, you can get the official game ball, the one that you caught or ran into the end zone. But you know, I know Alan Wright, you know, head of the equipment department. He can give you a polished up, hey, commemorative, this happened ball as well. So. Even if Patrick does give it to Travis, I know the Chiefs will probably do right by him and say, hey, by the way, on this game, on this date, on this play, in whatever quarter, you passed the great Lenny Dawson for the franchise record of touchdown passes. But I imagine Travis probably really cares to have that football if he catches it in the end zone, in particular in a win against the hated Raiders.
So let me ask you this one then. And I'll ask everybody this one. Everybody can weigh in on this one. Which is more impressive, Patrick breaking Len's record or Travis breaking Tony G's record?
This is a great question.
Thank you.
I mean,
28.
I love this question.
Thank you.
I really love this question because what it informs you, ladies and gentlemen, if you are of my age and whether you appreciate history or not, thankfully I do, it tells you how much they were slinging that thing in the AFL, man. Woo! I mean, my God.
Yeah.
You look at some of the statistics and you're like, this really happened in, like, on this planet? Like, they were throwing, like, I know the NFL had the more dominant TV deal, the more inherited franchises. You're like, it's the Bears and the Packers and the, you know, the Giants and the Cowboys, but dog, the more entertaining sport was in the AFL because they didn't care what down it was, they were slinging it. So historically, it kind of tells you how great Lenny Dawson was and either how bad everybody else was, or that it informs you the sport, the longevity of the sport actually got shorter the more the sport became modernized, which is crazy when you think about it, but it's true. Like, Trent Green was very, very good, a Pro Bowl caliber player. It lasted like four seasons, guys. Mm-hmm. It was great, but it lasted four seasons. The sport is a lot different now because obviously we've opened it up through, you know, some of the play calling, the fact that guys, I mean, Andy's talked about this, the fact that high school kids are throwing the football more. Obviously you see that in college and that translates to the NFL. So these guys are more prepared to execute at a higher level if they're talented enough to get through such a violent sport. I think it's the quarterback record.
Okay.
But man, you go out there and you run routes and know that your knees can get sawed off, the safety could headhunt you, and it hurts. Oh, and by the way, can you block on the next down? And oh, by the way, can you like pull for this guy? And oh, by the way, can you like cut block this guy? Oh, you want to run routes? Oh, that's fun. That's cute. Yeah, doing it in the red zone with like the least amount of space to operate within. It's tough. I think it's the quarterback because it's the hardest position in the sport in our country, but tight end is not that far behind.
it's also, you're going to tear your ACL your first year in the league and miss an entire year. Plus, in the last 5 years of your career, you're going to sit out the last game of the season. So either way, yeah, it's I can see both sides of it. The age, I think, is what wins Patrick Mahomes the award for doing it first, or doing it as opposed to the tight end. But, Nate, I do want to bring this up. DeAndre Hopkins, it seems to be the number is 60% of snaps, more or less, or if it's a blowout, obviously you can take that question and go elsewhere. But anything behind that?
I think it's a number of things. I think this team is very protective of its fourth-round pick, as silly as that is. And I know that drives people nuts, but hey, they are 10-1, so they kind of know what they're doing. I also think too, it's a little bit of like, hey, you know, we don't have to push you. You know, we're trying to get the one seed, but DeAndre, you're 32, and like we want you to be at your absolute peak in January. So like, sure, you could run another 10 routes, or you could be on the field another 15 plays. But we also have to develop Xavier Worthy. Justin Watson is still in the mix, obviously, because he's got a lot of trust and chemistry with Patrick Mahomes. And he's just, you know, he's just a viable, you know, reliable, dependable option, right? You still have Juju Smith-Schuster, who's coming back from the hamstring. He's got to get into a rhythm. I think he's been slow in his return based on what I anticipated. But, hey, hamstrings are a bit naggy, and, you know, you just want to see where it goes. So, there's not a desire. Oh, by the way, Travis Kelce is still running routes. Oh, Noah Gray all of a sudden is like a thing. So, like, again, like, it's not like, man, we only have two options, DeAndre, and you're one of them. And, like, please get out there on the field. They have a little bit of a luxury. And if he doesn't play 60% of the snaps, we don't even have to worry going into the, you know, Super Bowl that, you know, it's going to go from a fifth-round pick to a fourth-round pick. Because that was the deal, right? You had DeAndre had to play at least 60% of the snaps, and the Chiefs had to go to the Super Bowl. So, obviously, you want to go to the Super Bowl, but in order to make that pick a for sure fifth-round pick and not a fourth one, hey, man, come to the sideline real quick. You see what we're doing here? You see, you understand where you're going to go next? You know, what I'm saying?
Like, I like the way you're thinking.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's this is all tactical, right? I mean, the Chiefs got the Titans to give them a legitimate, great wide receiver, who is a possession receiver, who knows how to get open, who has immediately helped the quarterback. If you look at Patrick's statistics from the moment DeAndre Hopkins arrived to before he was here, they look quite different. They're a lot better. And oh, by the way, hey, man, can y'all eat like $2.5 million of his contract so like we can keep trading for dudes? And like, and by the way, like, I know you want a fourth. What if it's a fifth? And like it could be a fourth, wink, wink, and then you put your hand over the phone and say, it's never gonna be a fifth. It's never gonna be a fourth.
Right. I do. I love the line of thinking there because I'm totally in lockstep with you on that one. That's the way it's going to end.
Another
up going
Veach
for
flex.
Them. Yeah, exactly. Right. Speaking of that, DJ Humphries gets signed on Friday. What's realistic expectation for when he plays and what to expect?
Yeah, fellas, it's something I know a lot of fans are thinking about, and I have a story in The Athletic that you know came out this morning that sort of tells me to tell you all that the best possible scenario, given that you get a little bit of an extended recovery from Friday's game, you get an extra 2 days, maybe, just maybe, he could play against the Chargers on December 8th. I think the more likely option, if we were going in the more traditional manner of how Andy Reid onboards guys in the playbook, on the practice field, getting timing with their teammates. By the way, this guy's coming off an ACL tear, so you don't want to necessarily rush him. The likelihood is probably December 15th against the Cleveland Browns. Because, oh, by the way, don't they have Myles Garrett? Oh, my God. Yeah, he needs to be ready by December 15th.
Oh, yeah.
But the best possible chance is next week against the Chargers. I doubt it. I would say the odds are probably 70 against the Browns, 30 against the Chargers. But that's the best case scenario is that, hey, he can get through the first game. He won't necessarily be as much of a liability as obviously Kingsley Suamataia, or he won't be as banged up or, you know, as kind of hit or miss as Wanya Morris has been. But yeah, he needs to be ready because I can't imagine Myles Garrett lining up anywhere across Juwan Taylor when, you know, hey, it's a new guy at left tackle, or it's Wanya Morris. It's kind of terrifying when you think about the fact that they are better than Cleveland, but Cleveland has the exact thing to maybe disrupt their offense. And oh, by the way, the Pittsburgh Steelers are on Christmas Day, and they also have the exact thing to disrupt your offense and TJ Watt.
Nate, I've got one more question, and I'll have a follow-up, Brad. Who plays more? Who plays more this week? Isaiah Pacheco, Chuck Omenihu, or Joshua Uche?
It better be Joshua Uche. It better be. I mean, guys, let him go. Let him go. Cut him loose. Like, okay, he's on a little restriction, right? He's learning the system. Hey, man, this is real football, okay? When the calendar hits Thanksgiving, when you're a Super Bowl contender, okay, it's real now. It ain't the little fun in the sun in September. It ain't the little, like, hey, we're trying to experiment this or trying to develop this guy in October. Nah, man, it's real now. This is a sprint. You have a six-week sprint to ensure yourself that you get an extra week off with the number one seed and home field advantage in the AFC. So you traded for this dude. You're not getting that pick back in 2026. He is your best speed rusher. Go ahead and use him. It's understandable. They might give Pacheco like 8 touches, okay, just to get his feet wet, just to get him back in rhythm. Same for Charles Omenihu. Hey, man, you're coming off an ACL. Joshua Uche is fully healthy. Play him.
So before we let you go and eat the turkey and all that kind of stuff, is this the week Chris Jones finally gets into the sack column after 7 weeks of basically not being there?
Guys, I can't tell you how hard it's been for this man, right? How hard the burden that is on Chris Jones' shoulders, because he cares about sacks. Don't get me wrong, guys. He's trying really hard, ladies and gentlemen. It just sucks that, like, he's getting double-teamed probably more than any defensive interior defensive lineman in the league, and he's still getting pressure. That's one of the reasons why, you know, Mike Dana got his sack. It's like, hey, Chris Jones just destroyed 3 guys so that he could – so that, you know, Bryce Young could basically fall into my lap. And good for Mike Dana to get back into the sack column based on his struggles, you know, earlier this season and him having to play through injuries. It's unfortunate they didn't get the fumble there on his strip sack. But I think this is the week because, I mean, have you watched the Raiders? They're bad, real bad. And again, have the offense get you up by 10 or 14 points and let Chris Jones pin his ears back. Because I think that's another issue, too. They've been in so many close games. Okay, I kind of have to honor the run. Or, man, you try chasing Josh Allen down. Or is Bryce Young playing the best we've ever seen him? Like, it's just so – like, they again, they play very weird games. I mean, that's who the Chiefs are. But I do think this is the week where, again, if the Chiefs do what they're supposed to do, Chris Jones will get a sack, can take a deep breath, and then can prepare himself for the sprint. And, okay, we beat the Raiders. I need to show up and be my absolute best against, obviously, the Chargers, who have a good defense, the Browns, who have Myles Garrett, who's one of the leading contenders for the Defensive Player of the Year award. And then, oh, by the way, T.J. Watt, who is just a sack king because whatever Mike Tomlin's doing up there, it works, man. So it's time for Chris to go on a little bit of a run himself, so I will say yes. He will get a sack on Friday.
All right, Nate, we appreciate you. We're thankful for you. Have a blessed Thanksgiving with your family and everybody there, and then enjoy your red/black Friday after the holiday.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate it, guys. Happy Thanksgiving. And I would tell Amazon, just because it says Black Friday, you don't have to put the Raiders on the day after Thanksgiving every year. You don't have to do that. They're not good. Don't do that, Amazon.
All right. Take care, Nate.
See you, Nate.
All right, see you.
Nate Taylor there, presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750.